Before Jesus rose into heaven, his last word to his followers was a commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. The urgency of his words underscores the fact that he is the only way to God and that no other religion can save people from certain judgment. For you and for me and for all humanity, the stakes are high, so please stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Today, Erwin Lutzer speaks on lie number 5, that God is obligated to save followers of other religions, looking at how we can respond to the uniqueness of Christianity.
The Bible says, regarding the nations of the world, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. We're talking about a very holy God, and the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into his hands unprepared. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Another possibility, we have looked at agnosticism, anger. The other possibility is awe. To say, wow, if that's the God that the Bible represents, I'd better get my act together. I'd better become his worshiper. I'd better get to know his son, because apart from his son, there can be no salvation. And therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to receive his son as my savior and believe in him that I might be saved. Now, that's another option, and that's the one I'm urging you and pleading with you. Please take that option. What about the matter of bigotry? You know, in the Old Testament, God chose the Jews, no question about it. Did it lead to bigotry? Yes, it did, unfortunately. You look at some of the passages in the Bible, it's very clear. Can that lead to bigotry in our lives? Absolutely. Tragically, it's possible. What do we do? Do we become bigoted? No. When we understand this, we are humbled. We're saying, God, why me? Why do I have the opportunity? And we bow in the presence of sovereign God and say, I will never, never, never take credit. In humility and brokenness, I will share the good news of the gospel. Never with a self-righteous attitude of, we're right and you're wrong. But rather, we're all wrong and Jesus is right. That's the way in which we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the difference between Christianity and the other options out there? Well, one is that all the other options are people trying to get to God, seeking him, groping for him, as the old King James said. And the other is a revealed religion where God comes down and God saves, and as a result of that, salvation is a free gift. In no other religion do you have that. One time I was with a man on the plane, and he said, you know, there are just a lot of religions in the world. And I said, yeah, but fundamentally only two. Let's take a piece of paper, and on one side you write down all the religions that believe that you have to be a good person to get to heaven, and that's the way to become a good person, that you have to work your way to heaven. Let's put all the religions of the world that believe that in some form on this sheet of paper. Over here, all those who believe that salvation is a free gift to those who humble themselves and receive it. Let's put all the ones on that side of the slip of paper. Well, you know, only Christianity was on that one side. And it has to be a free gift. Think about it. We do not have the righteousness that God requires. Christ is the only one who has it. We cannot cooperate and add to his righteousness and make it better. So we simply humble ourselves and we receive that gift. That's what makes Christianity so unique. But its uniqueness is its stumbling block, because people say, well, I want to work at it, or I can just accept Jesus and live like I like. The unconverted say. They have no notion of the radical change God brings about when people are saved. In the country of India, there was a missionary who made friends with a Hindu pearl diver. And they became good friends, and the Hindu was a very loving man. And one day he gave the missionary one of the most beautiful, exquisite pearls that one could possibly even imagine. And the missionary said to him, he said, I need to pay you for this. I can't accept it as a free gift. And the pearl diver said, absolutely not. He said, You must accept it free. You cannot pay me because I need to tell you that this pearl was retrieved by my only son who drowned and died in the process. If you were to pay me, it would be an insult for the blood of my son, the life of my son. And the missionary said, do you realize what you've just said? You have had such a hard time with this whole idea that salvation is a free gift. You thought that you had to go to Delhi on your knees and so forth. You thought it was so hard, but don't you understand that the reason you can't pay for it is because God sent his only son and gives us a pearl, a gift that is so priceless, it is an insult to think that you can buy it. And the pearl diver understood the wonder of the gospel and believed. What a marvelous message. Let's give our lives to proclaim it around the world. And to those of you who are listening here in this church or listening by radio, let me tell you that through Christ, there is a gift that you cannot buy. And it's the message that we want to give to the entire world. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, we want to thank you today for your greatness and for your sovereignty. And we pray that we might not take for granted the wonder of you giving us the privilege of belonging to you and the marvelous gospel that we proclaim. We pray for those who have listened to this and they're struggling as to whether they can believe. We pray that you will cause them to believe. Bring them to faith in Jesus, we pray. Father, the work that you've begun in our hearts, complete it, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Lutzer, you said there are not too many sins left in contemporary society, but there are some, and one of them is to be perceived as intolerant. I'd have to say that what we just heard could easily be pegged by many as a statement of extreme intolerance. For you to say that God is not obligated to honor the very sincere beliefs of all the people in the world who don't happen to buy into the Christian gospel.
I agree that that sounds very intolerant. And I can only respond by saying this is what the Bible teaches. It goes back to the whole issue that becomes a part of this series of messages. Do we redefine God according to our likes, according to our definition of fairness, or do we accept the God of the Bible? And if you look at the Bible, you begin to see that God is not obligated to save followers of other religions. And they no doubt have a part in his eternal purpose. But the simple fact is that those who trust Christ as Savior, the gospel limits those who enter into heaven by those who trust Christ. And Christ has to be trusted because he's the only one who has the righteousness by which we can be accepted before God. But it's a difficult doctrine to accept, obviously.
You know, people really hang on these days to a very elevated, almost a spiritual level concept, which they call fairness. And fairness is, of course, defined by each person in their own way. But in so doing, this concept gives them the sense that they can't tolerate the idea of a God who's this exclusive. Since people hold this concept of fairness so dear, is there any point in debating this with people, since to them, the intolerance they perceive is just such an affront that closes the door to further argument?
Well, I think that the way we have to approach it is by saying a couple of things. First of all, that in the Bible, responsibility is based on knowledge. So nobody will ever stand before God who has not heard the gospel, and God will say, well, why didn't you believe the gospel? That would be unfair. But there are two ways that God reveals himself really throughout the whole world in all the different cultures and religions. One is nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The second is through the conscience, the God awareness. And people's response to that is going to determine their degree of punishment in the day of judgment. Now, it's not enough to save them. There's no evidence that you can be saved by responding properly to those two forms of revelation, but it most assuredly is going to be the basis upon which they will be judged. That's why Jesus said that he who knew God's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. The person who didn't know God's will be beaten with few. Responsibility will be based on knowledge. The second thing is that we need to keep in mind that God's idea of fairness does not mesh with ours. Let's just be realistic, Dave. You can argue this point, but God did not treat Hammurabi the way in which he treated Abraham. God came to Abraham and revealed himself to this pagan. Abraham was a pagan when God came to him. Mm-hmm. And God could have revealed himself to others that way, but didn't. Look at the way in which the Apostle Paul was treated. Christ comes out of heaven and converts him. Now, that sure is different than a response to others. Nobody else has had that experience. So let's not take God and push him into this mold to say he has to conform to our standards of fairness. The fact is that there are people who are going to be lost forever who have not heard of Christ, though they will be judged according to knowledge, as I mentioned. And others are going to be lost who have heard of Christ, but judgment will be meticulously carried out. And in that, I think we can safely rest and trust.
You referred to the wider mercy view of some theologians in which God is said to extend his salvation to those who didn't hear the message but really believe sincerely what they did believe.
Yes, and then God credits them with the righteousness of Christ, and they don't know that they're saved by Jesus until they die and get to heaven and find out it's Jesus.
Is this a symptom of evangelicals who just have to have a fairness element in their concept of God as well?
Yes, and the problem with the view, though I can be sympathetic with it in some respects, is that the view is not found in the Bible. You know, you can just look at the Revelation, and you can see that the Bible does not speak favorably of non-Christian religions. It sees them as aberrations. It sees them as satanically inspired. And you can say what you will, but you can't be saved through confidence in other religions, because only Christ is able to save.
Now, this raises the question. We are predicating all this on the assumption that what's in the Bible is a closed revelation. There's no new revelation to be given to us. That's mm-hmm. the assumption, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you this. When I was very young, I was very conscious of the lostness of people without Christ. When I was young, those around me agreed that there was a strong need for missionaries and so on. Do you think that sense of urgency is the same today as it was 25 years ago?
I don't think so, though I'm not qualified to be the one necessarily to give a definitive answer. But I think that now that heaven's gate has been opened wider by a lot of different evangelical theologians, some of which say that you can be saved through other religions, or if you die without Christ, you will be annihilated, and there will be an opportunity to accept him in the life to come. All of these ideas are percolating in the evangelical church. The urgency probably is not there anymore. But let me just simply say, in this very difficult doctrine, and I agree that it is difficult, and I sympathize with those who struggle, the simple fact is, it highlights once again the uniqueness of Jesus, number one, and number two, the urgency that there is in getting the gospel message to people.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding another message in his series on 10 Lies About God and Why You Might Already Be Deceived. On Monday, don't miss lie number 6, that God is not responsible for natural disasters. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. Our current series on 10 Lies About God raises many deep questions about the purposes of God in the world. These issues deserve study, and that's why 10 Lies About God can be yours as a series on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. For our next Lie About God, join us Monday for our next edition of Running to Win.